Now, I'm grateful to be here, grateful for Dr. Wendel to have invited me, and if you could see my shoes, you would see that they are disproportionate size and they have grown as I've climbed these stairs. I am standing in some big pair of wonderful shoes filled by Peter Gomes as well as many others who have stood in this pulpit. Behold, I make all things new. Advent is a time of new beginnings. Light shines into a darkness. A child is born. Kind of the postpotent reality of the new. Now we all, most of us, like new things. The look of a new dress. A smell of a new car, a feel of a new iPhone, please no sleeve. People always have liked new things. That's why the ancient prophet speaks about new heavens and new earth, about new Jerusalem. But today, somehow, I think we are almost obsessed with novelty. We want new things. Oh, I know. We also want old things. I live in a 1738 house. I like old things. And yet, we all want new things. Not just new things, but new things. We want next thing. We want something brand and sparkling new. And that's a feature of us moderns who walk through life kind of leaning forward, always moving into the future and rarely looking back behind us. Obsession with the new is a hallmark in many ways of our age. And yet, the faster we get the new things, the faster the new things become old things. The rate of obsolescence increases with the increase of the rate of novelty. You just have to look at your garage. You just have to look at technical gadgets you've used only a few years ago to realize how quickly the new becomes old. And we somehow, all of us, are a little bit like my children. That toy which looked so fascinating for a while, after two or three days, has been discarded, and the new is being sought. Obsession with the new. And what it seems to me is that in this obsession with the new, there's kind of longing for something that is genuinely new, something that remains new, something that renews itself, something that does not grow obsolete. And in many ways, I think what we are longing for is a kind of a new self. We long for, I think, or at least I want to propose that to you, we long for something like a new past. We long for new future. And we long for new identity in all the new things that we long for. New past. Behold, I make all things new. All things means also new past. Now, what could that mean? Friedrich Nietzsche, some of you have read him, in Das Spoke Zarathustra said, to redeem the past, that alone do I call redemption. Now, I'm not sure about this alone. That alone do I call redemption. But bracket this. That I call redemption, to renew, to redeem the past. Why? Because past is never just past. Past lives in us, in memory. And that is the most wonderful thing on the one hand. That Ave Maria of Franz Liszt from Friday I can still hear it. Just I can hear also Ave Maria of Victoria of today's. All these pleasant experiences that we have had, they're part and parcel of who we are. They shape our identity. But that's also true not just of beauty, but it's true of suffering, of pain, and of horror. That's true of our wrongdoings. That's true of that missed opportunity, central missed opportunity. How does one redeem the past? Now, Nietzsche had an idea how one redeems the past. Well, he designed the whole metaphysical theory around it, eternal recurrence of the same and the embrace of what was. I think in the Christian tradition, the Advent talks of an alternative redemption of the past. Forgiveness is the way in which we redeem the past. Misdeeds that we have committed, wrongdoings, they kind of stick to us. And they're kind of inseparable almost for us because our deeds as responsible human beings, they're imputable to us. The stain, they're a stain on our new clothes. And forgiveness, it blots that stain. It takes away the burden of sin that lies upon us. And not just takes away it, but in a sense, we are treated as if we had not done it. That's what forgiveness means. And maybe, miracle of all miracles, as the prophet has said, the old things, they do not even come to mind. We look at another person who has wronged us, and we don't see wrongdoing etched on their foreheads. We see them. Because their sin, our sin, has been blotted away. This is a gift that we receive from God, and this is also a gift that we give to one another. Behold, I make all things new. New past. New future, too. The past is not only stain on our present often, but also, in a strange way, it reaches through the veil of the present into the future. Especially that's true of the great traumas of the past, whether they're personal traumas or they're collective traumas. We have been betrayed, and that betrayal reaches itself into our own, projects itself into our future. Or 9/11 has happened to us, and we see 9/11s in the future and organize our behavior around possible 9/11s. Some of it is very healthy. We want to be cautious. But at the same time, we can become slaves of our own past. Future is simply then an extension of the troubling past. Behold, I make all things new. My own teacher, theological teacher, Jürgen Moltmann, has distinguished between two understandings of the future, two words for the future. One is futurum, and the other one is adventus. Futurum is the future that kind of grows out of the past. The present is pregnant with the past and gives birth to the future. That's a cause and effect nexus that lets us predict things that will happen in the future. And much of our future does happen that way. But Jürgen, my own teacher, has argued that in the biblical traditions, there is another sense also of the future. And that's expressed with the word Advent. And that's the future that doesn't grow out of the past, but that comes from outside of time to us. That's what Advent is. It's a result of a promise that is given to us and the realities that are therefore changed. Something new is introduced. Abraham and Sarah, bodies that for years have stubbornly refused to produce an offspring. And then, just when things couldn't get worse, the angel of the Lord appears and says, next year at that time, you will have a child. And lo and behold, this word of promise introduces something new into the realities of their lives, into the realities of the whole history, and Sarah is with a child. Advent. Something that comes to us from the outside, and new possibilities are created, and future is no longer extension of the past. Behold, I make all things new. The past and the future, but also the present, our own very identity. Ultimately, new past and new future. They're all about this new self that we need to be. They're all about this new birth that comes from a promise. And they're about the gift that we received from God. Now, as we think about ourselves, we tend to think of ourselves as kind of a sum of deeds that we have done. I'm simplifying. Sum of things that we have suffered or experienced. And then kind of reactions that we have had to what others have done to us and what we have done in the mixture of it. And then what we do is we tell a story about our lives. And our lives are a combination of these things, which we arrange in a ways that we sometimes like or find compelling. Now, that's fine if the sum of our lives is a nice story to tell. But what about if horrors lurk in the past? What about if narration of our story isn't such a pleasant thing? Can we live with ourselves? Can we live with ourselves throughout whole lived lives? And I think the story of the gospel, the story of the Advent, story of the birth of this child, Christ child, is that our identity, that we are not what we have done, that we are not what others have done to us, that we are not how we have responded to what we have done and what others have done to us, that we are most fundamentally the beloved children of God, born from above. My friend, philosopher Nicholas Walterstorff, in his book on justice, tells a story of human dignity, or gives an illustration of human dignity based on the fact that we are beloved children of God. No matter what has happened to us in the course of our lives, no matter what has life done to us, or what have we done to ourselves in our lives. And he compares us to a child's teddy bear. A child is attached to a teddy bear, and attached over the years, and over the years of attachment, that teddy bear has gone through thick and thin, water and fire, maybe missing one eye, maybe missing part of an arm, and the other one is torn. Now, if you would give that teddy bear, to some kind of competition for the prize for the most beautiful teddy bear in the world, might come close to the last, right? This poor little thing. You ask that child which teddy bear he wants to go to bed with, or she wants to go to bed with, that child is going to tell you, it's this frayed teddy bear I want to go to bed with. Attachment of love has made that teddy bear, given that teddy bear value and identity. We are who we are because we are the beloved children of God. This is what Advent is about. New past, freed from the burdens that lie on it. New future, freed from the past that threatens to colonize it. A new self, free to be once again a beloved child. Amen. Let us pray. our gracious God. You have come to us strangely, as a child. New beginnings you have promised us by entering into our history, entering into our lives. New future, new past, an identity rooted in your love. Thank you that you do make all things new. In Christ's name, amen.